So if you'll open up your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 14, and if you've got your pencil, I'm going to give you some other references because this is a very unique account in the Bible, and I wanted to kind of touch on it and help us see some things here today. As I've been going through, and last week, I talked about the greatest revival service that ever happened in the Word of God, in my opinion. You say, well, they had revivals in the Bible day? Sure they did. The greatest revival that ever exists in the Word of God was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. You say, well, now, wait a minute, is that a revival? Sure it was. And the result of that revival was people could get saved. And people got saved. The thief on the cross accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as we look at our revival and the revival meeting that we had and what God has done in each one of our hearts, you know, praise the Lord, we've already seen two come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That is result of a revival. And so we want to move forward. And I want to bring some things out here this morning. And I want to encourage us as a church to begin to move forward and do some things that need to be done. And I'm going to give you some references. And if you'll write these down, because what I want you to do is I want to give you some homework to go home and to do it. And I believe if you'll do it, it'll be a blessing to you. But Matthew chapter 14, we're going to read here this morning, 22 through 33. So make sure you write that one down. And then if you go to Mark chapter 6, in verse number 45 to 52, Mark chapter 6, verse number 45 to 52. And then if you go to John chapter 6, from verse number 14 to verse number 21. And again, what you will find out in the three Gospels here is the mention of the disciples here and a trip that the Lord Jesus Christ sent them on that changed their lives. And again, the Lord gave them some instructions. And if you'll read all of those together and kind of look at them, and you'll see that each writer of that portion of Scripture brings out a couple of different things. And again, you say, well, you know, some people say, well, that's, you know, that's contrary. It's not saying the same thing. No, it's just like if we were to be out here and we were to witness an accident out here on Elijah Creek Road, and four of us saw it, four of us would have a different. Some things would be similar, but there would be other things different according to how we saw it. And that's what happens in the Word of God. And again, you say, well, why does God do that? Why does God preserve it? Well, see, there's different things in each Scripture that He points out to us and that He shows us and that we can learn from. We'll look at a couple of those verses in the other selections. But we're going to concentrate this morning here on Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22. And the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous and was afraid, he began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer. And Lord, I pray that you would just anoint my lips this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I guide your people. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to put everything else that's on our minds out. Lord, that we would look into your word today. Lord, that we would see what it is you have for us. And Lord, I pray that if there'd be anybody tuned in, or Lord, if there'd be anybody that's watching this morning that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray today would be the day that they would get saved. Lord, I pray today would be the day that they would give their life to you. And Lord, I just pray that if there'd be anybody among us, Lord, that has aught with a brother, Lord, I pray that they would get that right. And Father, I pray that you would be with the needs that are represented here today, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you'd speak to each heart as to their need, and we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd like us to go back to verse number 22. And we'll get to that here in a moment. But what is going on here is right after the Lord Jesus Christ had fed the 5,000 with the two loaves and the fishes, and we hear a lot about that story, a young lad and his faith and his sacrifice, giving up the five loaves and the two fishes, and 5,000 men plus women and children ate. And then in verse number 22, the Lord Jesus Christ does something here, and he gives some instructions, and I want to take some things from this passage here today and apply it to us on where we should be and what we should be doing and what we need to be doing after our revival. And the Bible says here in verse number 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. Now, I want to kind of stop here for a few moments, and I want to talk to us this morning about our church. And again, I want to kind of liken it to a ship. And in a ship, there's a captain and a co-captain in a crew. Now, there might be some passengers that come along, you know, and are there for a ride. And generally, the purpose of a ship is to carry passengers or cargo from one place to another. And folks, the captain is the one who is in charge and gives the instructions. And generally, those instructions are passed down to the co-captain, which are passed down to the crew. And I want to talk to us here this morning about our church. Now, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Amen. And the captain of Faith Independent Baptist Church is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do thank the Lord, he has given me and he has appointed me, and please take note of how I put that. He has appointed me to be the under shepherd, or in this case, the co-captain, the assistant captain, let's put it that way, of this ship. And I believe with all my heart, God has given us some direction on where we need to go and some things that we need to do. And I believe with all my heart that God has given me what he wants our church to do and the direction that he wants our church to go. And what my responsibility and what my job is to make sure that the crew, the members of Faith Independent Baptist Church get those instructions. Now, something we want to look at here with the Lord Jesus Christ as he gave some instructions to his disciples. It says here, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Now, as we look at that, and we see these words here, I want to point out some very important words in this verse. First of all, it says straightway. You know what that means? Right now. Hop to it. Get moving. No delay. You know, when we talk to our children, and this week, you know, Tammy and I, we've been taking care of our grandchildren so that the kids could go to camp, and it's hard to bridge that gap from grandparent to having your grandkids for a week and having to give some instructions. I told the kids when they first come over, I said, now you remember Paul's rule. I say it one time, and then I give you a spanking. You know, and now again, I probably didn't hold to that rule as exactly as I quoted it. But what I was instructing them and what I was telling them is straightway. When I speak, when I tell you to do something, when I tell you that there's something that I want you to do, I expect you to do it and to do it now. You know, and you say, well, you know, that you're talking about adults and children. Folks, what I'm talking about here this morning is the church of the Lord. And God has given us some instructions. And what he's told us to do is straightway, immediately. Now, you know, it's sometimes, you know, we kind of look at things and the Lord speaks to our heart. And as God spoke to my heart in the revival and as the Lord spoke to your heart in the revival, sometimes we kind of take that as an attitude of, okay, all right, I'll get around to it. No, what I want to encourage you to do is do what the Word of God has instructed us straightway. And he gave them some instructions. Now, he said straightway. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples. Now, let's look at that word constrained. Because, see, it's very important that we understand what Jesus was communicating here with the disciples. The straightway, or the straightway meant do it immediately, right now. The word constrained means you have no other choice. This is not an option. This is not something that you can say, okay, I'll consider it, and you get back with me. And a lot of times what we do is we take that attitude with the Lord. When he gives us instructions, we'll say, well, you know, we'll take that under advisement, Jesus, and we'll get back to you if we decide whether we're going to do it or not. You know, when Jesus told the disciples straightway, and he constrained them, you know what he was telling them? Immediately, go right now and get on a ship. Get on a ship is what he told him to do. He wasn't asking him, would you like to get onto a ship? Would you like to do what I'm instructing you? Would you like to do what I'm telling you? He said, no, straightway right now, go get on a ship. You don't have a choice. You say, well, you know, preacher, are you going to become the dictator of Faith Independent Baptist Church? Absolutely not. But you know, as the under-shepherd and as the captain, I believe with all my heart, God has commanded us to get on a ship. He's not only constrained us and means that we need to get busy and we need to be doing it and immediately, but there's not an option. That, you know, this is not a situation that we can keep looking at and saying, well, you know, okay, Father, I'll get around to it one day. And what's interesting here, as he told them straightway, he told them to get onto a ship. He was very direct on the ship that he wanted them to be on. Not just any ship. He said a ship. You know, our church here, folks, and we've talked about this many times, and come September, our missions conference is coming up. If it wasn't for missions, and getting the gospel into all the world, and at not only Jerusalem, but Judea, Samaria, and the other most parts of the world, we might as well just walk out the door, close it up, and burn the building down, because it serves no purpose outside of that. Our goal, the thing that God has commanded us as a church, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And you see, that's a ship that God has commanded us to get on, get moving, and move forward. And you know, as I think, as our revival came through, and our revival service came through, and the Lord did some things in my heart, and He spoke to me, I believe that what He wants us to do is to respond and to move. And you know, as I think about the ship that He told them to get on, there was some reasons that He told them the things that He told them. Now, they weren't reasons immediately that He explained to them. But they understood. You know, and what we need to realize, folks, the commands that God gives us, the instructions that He gives us in our lives, and as a church, the things that He instructs us to do, He has reasons for them to be done. You know, one of the things that when my children were growing up, that really bugged me to death, and I hated it, and it made me mad every time they did it. When I would tell them to do something, the first thing come out of their mouth is, why? Well, I do agree and understand there are some things that you need to stop and explain to children. But a child should be taught to obey just because you said so. Not stop back and sit down and say, well, why? You know, because again, when you answer that why, what happens? Well, why? Well, why? Well, why? You know, and my son back there, he was the biggest one. And finally, I would just look at him and I would tell him, because I said so. You just get up, you just move, you just do what I tell you to because I told you to do it. And see, the Lord Jesus Christ, again, I what I'm trying to get you to understand here, when Jesus talked to the disciples and He told them to get on the boat and He told them to get on the ship and He told them to go before Me, He wasn't giving an option. He wasn't giving them, it wasn't a request. And again, we've had our revival service, and I believe God has some things for us to do. And what we got to look at is what happened in the ship. The Lord Jesus Christ sent them away, and we'll come back, sent them out on the ship, and we'll come back to that in here in a moment. But in verse number 23, He said, and when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into the mountain apart to pray. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ had something that He needed to do, and that was to pray. And there were some things that the disciples here did not know, nor did they understand why Jesus did what He did. Jesus Christ sent them away because there were some things that He had to take care of that it would be better had they not been there. And one of those things is dealing with the heart of the people that had just sat down in groups of 50, in groups of 75, in groups of 100, and partook of a great miracle of the loaves and fishes. And we talk about that story, that account a lot, and where there was 12 baskets gathered up afterwards, and everybody had some food. Will you turn over your Bible to John chapter 6? John chapter 6 in verse number 15. John chapter 6 and verse number 15. You see, there were some reasons why the Lord did what He did, when He did it, and how He did it. Verse number 15 says, and when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take Him by force and make Him a king, He departed again unto a mountain Himself alone. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that the motive of the 5,000 was not pure. He knew that they were fixing to do something that was not in His timing. And so what the Lord Jesus Christ did is he sent them away, because what this group of people wanted to do, they was more interested in an earthly kingdom. They was more interested in putting Jesus on a throne, which you would say, well, isn't that what they were supposed to do? Isn't what they were supposed to feel? No, that wasn't what was supposed to happen. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ had a ministry, and it wasn't about an earthly kingdom here on earth. It was about a kingdom in heaven and providing salvation for all. And had these things been done, the whole world would have lost. You see, what the 5,000 was looking at is what they had just received of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he bountifully took care of them, and how he fed them. But you know what Jesus wanted to do? Jesus wanted the world to have the same thing that the 5,000 wanted. And you know what the 5,000 was concentrated on? Themselves. The 5,000 was concentrated on, hey, let's put Jesus up. Let's just go ahead and have the kingdom. Let's just do this thing now. You know, if we're not careful, what we'll do is when we hear good messages like we heard in our revival, and God moves and speaks to our heart, and we have a good thing like we have here at Faith Independent Baptist Church, a good God-loving Christian family where I would say for the most part we get along with each other. You know, God has bigger plans than just us getting along, than just us having a location here at 1532 Elijah Creek Road. God has plans and God's desire in the feeding of the 5,000, and in that day as well as today, and that is to get the gospel to the entire world and to everybody, to every creature. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he sent them away because, well, he had to take care of the multitude. The other thing that the Lord Jesus Christ had to take care of, let's look over in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Now, the disciples, they had gotten in the boat. They had headed out, and we're going to talk about the storm here in a minute. But they were in the middle of the storm, and the Lord Jesus Christ sent them away because even the disciples, after the feeding of the 5,000, didn't quite have it all together, and there was a misunderstanding, and there was a hardness of heart. Look at verse number 52 of Mark chapter 6. For they, speaking of the disciples, considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. You know, it wasn't only the multitude, it was the disciples. Those who were closest to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who were actually the ones who really knew what was going on. You see, everybody else that was receiving the food got it from a basket from the disciples. The disciples got it from the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples knew that it was five loaves and two fishes that he got from a lad, and that he was breaking it up and he was dividing. But apparently, in the heart of the disciples, they were hardened. Their heart was hardened. And you say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ told the disciples that he needed to feed them, you know what their thing was? Send them away. Send them away. The hour's come. It's late. Send them away into the sea and let them fend for themselves. You know, the Lord didn't want them to fend for themselves. The Lord wanted them to see a great miracle. And the ones closest to him, the ones that should have understood the most, as the Word of God tells us here, they were harboring resentment in their heart. They allowed the situation to harden their hearts. You know, I got to be honest and say, when after our revival and the last Sunday, and then to find out that COVID began to sweep through the church, you know, I'll tell you what, it didn't make me none real happy. And I kind of wondered, Lord, why? You know, we just had the revival service. Now it's time to, you know, get out there and get busy. And now it's time to charge. The last thing that we need, Jesus, is to be on this boat and to be out in the middle of an ocean in the storm. But you know what the Lord was showing me? He's not done yet. He's not done yet. There are still some issues that need to be resolved. There are still some things that need to be taken care of. And just like the disciples here, the Lord Jesus Christ sent them away, and he put them on a ship knowing what was going to happen that night. He knew that they were going to face a storm. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, after our revival, knew what we were going to face. You know, we praise the Lord. The first round of COVID that come around, the one that everybody was really afraid of and people were dying from, we pretty much escaped from that just about untouched. The only one that passed away from that in our midst was Brother Hadley. And he didn't even get it from coming to church. And it's still, as a testimony, as far as I know, other than family contact, nobody in our church got COVID from anybody in our church by coming to church. And now all of a sudden, Lord, why did you let our evangelist bring COVID down here and it sweep through the church? And get a lot of us. You know, Lord, I don't understand that. You know what I've got to do is I've got to trust God that there's some things that he needs to take care of. There are some things that he needs to work on. And the best place for us is out in the ocean. Now again, as we look at that storm, in Matthew chapter 14, in verse number 24, it says, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea." You know, when we look at it and we think about that, the ship's in the midst of the sea. No bailing out there. No real good escape hatches. They're out there in the middle of the sea. And the Bible says that they were tossed with waves. They were taken on water. You know, the ship was being tossed back and forth, and the Bible says that the winds were contrary. And in the other portions of scriptures, it goes on and it describes more of what was going on. In John, it describes how they were rowing in contrary to the wind. You know, I really thank the Lord that they didn't give up; they just kept right on rowing. And they didn't give up. They put a man out to watch. You know, and you know what the watch was for? Look for safety. To look for safety. To make sure that they didn't run aground. To make sure that because in the middle of that storm that they could find land and that they wouldn't lose their way. And they were in a real spot. They were in a real storm. And there was really no place to get out safely. So you know the best place for him to be? Is in the ship. Right. Church, the best place that you can be in the midst of a storm is in church. In the ship. In the ship that God said, get in and go. And not just any ship, but a ship. And they were in they were in the middle of the ocean, all the things that were going on, everything that was happening. And you know, even though all of that was going on, there was still some folks in that boat that didn't quite catch it. That didn't quite understand it. Because as the Lord Jesus Christ was coming out, the Bible says that they looked and they assumed that it was a spirit, small letter S. You know, they assumed that the Lord Jesus Christ that was walking to them. And you know what's really interesting? As you read through each one of these accounts, there are things that are different, but in every account, it says, and Jesus went to them. And he went to them out on the ocean. And again, that man, the Bible says, on the fourth watch, as he was watching, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And they all assumed that it was a spirit. And the Bible says they were afraid. And when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke out to them, he told him, he said, "It is I. It's me. Be not afraid. It's me." You know, you would think that they would reflect back on the feeding of the 5,000. You think they might reflect back on the other various miracles that they sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and did. But no, there was one man in particular, and unfortunately, I'm probably more like him than I'd like to admit, is Peter. Peter heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ say, be not afraid. You know, when the Lord speaks to our hearts, folks, and even though it's all rough and we're taking in on water and we can't explain everything that's going on and we may not even like everything that's going on. You know, I'm sure the disciples out here on the ocean was not enjoying their circumstances. They were not enjoying what was going on. They were not enjoying the struggle. But they kept working. They kept moving. And old Peter, he spoke up. And he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come." You know what Peter was saying? "I hear you, Jesus, but I don't believe you. And if it's really you, bid me to come." Well, you hear the old saying, be careful what you pray for because you might get it. Jesus told Peter, he said, "Come." Well, Peter, very prideful, hopped out of that boat and was about 2 seconds on the water. And he looked around him, and the Bible says that as he looked around and he saw that the waves were besieging, he began to sink. He began to say, "Hey, I've gotten in over my head. I've gotten in, further than what I need to be, and this is more than what I can handle." And the Bible says he began to sink. Now, Peter's a quick repenter. And he cried out to the Lord to save him. And the Bible says that Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. You know, Peter challenged what the Lord was doing in their lives. Can I caution you? Don't be a Peter. Don't challenge what God is doing in your life. Don't challenge what God is doing in this church. You say, "Now wait a minute, preacher. You mean, you know, we're never supposed to question?" No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, if it's not contrary to the Word of God, then let's go for it. If it's not biblically wrong, if it's not doctrinally wrong, let's go for it. Let's get busy. Let's do some things that's going to change the lives of people instead of questioning and unbelief. And so in this storm, Peter questioned and he questioned the Lord and the Lord answered his prayer. The Lord allowed him to come out. And as Jesus approached the ship in verse number 31, and it says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Folks, is God in control of your life? Is God in control of the things of your life? You say, "Now, what do you mean, preacher? What are you talking about there?" Have you taken your hands off and said, "Okay, God, it's yours. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to go where you want me to go, and I'm going to say what you want me to say, irregardless of what may be going on around me, whether it's popular or unpopular, whether it's going to get me in trouble or not, but God, I give myself to you." You know, and I praise the Lord, there were a number of you all during our revival service that did that. And I want to encourage you, follow through. Follow through. You say, "Well, you know, preacher, we're in a storm. Maybe God wasn't in it because of what happened after the revival." No, God's still working. God's still got some things He's doing. God's still got some people that He's working in their lives. And what He needed to do is He needed to separate and give other folks opportunity to go ahead while He dealt with other things. And so I want to encourage you, whatever God spoke to your heart, do. And the Bible says, and when, in verse number 32, it says, and when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. You know, I can't promise, folks, that our church is never going to see struggle. Actually, I can pretty much guarantee you it's going to keep right on going. The more and more that we strive to do things for the Lord, the more and more we strive to move forward to get the gospel out, the more problem we're going to have. The more storms we're going to face. But you know, we can have peace in the midst of the storm when Jesus comes to the ship. When Jesus comes to the ship, the Bible says when they, speaking of Jesus and Peter, when they came into the ship, the winds ceased. Folks, we've been through a storm. There's going to be more storms come. But I'm more convinced now than I've ever been before that God has great things for Faith Independent Baptist Church. And what we need to do, folks, and what I want to encourage you to do is do what Jesus says. Get in the boat. Get in a boat. I'll just kind of bring this out. I've been here, your pastor, now for over 2 years. And there are some that are outside of the boat just kind of hanging on, seeing how it goes. Can I encourage you? Get in the boat.
Amen.
Get in the boat. Get in. It's dry inside the boat. Yeah, we may get a storm, but there's safety in the boat. You jump out in the water, well, you're going to sink like Peter. Because in the water, it's rougher. And I want to encourage you to get in the boat. Get in the boat. Let's get in. Let's go forward. Let's see God do some great things in this community and across the world. We're about ready to come up on our missions conference in September. And I want to see us touch more lives of people around the world. How are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do that by getting in a boat. The boat that Jesus has designed for us at Faith Independent Baptist Church, and what we're going to experience is we're going to experience as we're in the boat and we're rowing and we're going to row with all our might. There's jobs, there's things for people to do. You know, I think of our van ministry. You say, well, it isn't working out, Pastor. Well, it isn't worked out yet. Notice the word yet. That means I ain't giving up on it. I ain't giving up on it. Because, see, there's some kids down the road, there's some people down the road that need a ride to church so they can hear the gospel. It'd be the only way that they get here. And you say, well, you know, what's it going to get us? Well, it's going to get us dirty walls, soiled carpet, souls saved, and it's going to get us fellow servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, your pastor's wife was a bus kid. Some of the greatest preachers in the world that have existed were bus kids. The young man he's a little bit younger than me, that pastors the church that knocked on my wife's door to invite her to church. He was also a bus kid of that church and now is the pastor of the church. You see, God does great things. We've got a voyage that the Lord Jesus Christ has told us to get on and to go. And church, will you go with me? Will you go with me? Will you allow me through God's Word to lead you. And let's go over to the other side. Let's get some things done. Is there going to be storm? Yeah, there's going to be storm. Is there going to be problem? Yeah, there's going to be problem. Is there going to be people get angry and upset and disgruntled? Sure. But these are all wars. And as we talked about in Sunday school, the best way we deal with those is we walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We get let the Lord Jesus Christ get behind us and the Spirit of God that is within us, and we let the Lord do what He wants to do in our life. Let's reflect on what He's done in the past, and then let's look forward to what He wants to do in the future. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for the church that You have allowed me to be the pastor of. Lord, I thank You for their sacrifice. Lord, I thank You for their willingness to come. And Lord, I know we've been through a hard time, Lord, before the revival, during the revival, and even after the revival. But Lord, we also know that there's safety in the ship that You've told us to get into. And Lord, help us to trust You to deal with those things that we don't know anything about and we have no control over. Lord, help us to just allow You to deal with those situations, guide in those situations, direct in those situations. And Lord, help us not to have hard hearts. Lord, help us to be willing to forgive. Help us to be willing to love. Lord, help us to be willing to learn from where we are and what You have for us. Now, Lord, I just pray that You would just move in a mighty way in our invitation, and we'll thank You for it. In Your name we pray. Amen.